Welcome to the program, listeners. You are listening to WISR 680 AM and the extended news at noon. I'm Tyler Friel with you. And today wraps up our final day of election coverage, interviewing candidates involved in local races. And today we'll be looking at the 21st senatorial district. And we are talking with the Republican incumbent, and that is Senator Scott Hutchinson, who joins us by telephone. Senator, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Senator, going with the first question that I've asked every candidate so far is essentially, why are you running for re-election? Is there one big goal that you would like to get accomplished in Harrisburg if you were to be re-elected?
Well, I think generally, I think it's important, and I feel very strongly that we need a state senator representing our district that is grounded in the values of the hardworking families here in Western Pennsylvania. And I believe that my record proves that that's exactly what I am. And if you want to talk about a specific thing that needs done right now, of course, we are in the midst of a crisis caused by the coronavirus, and it has devastated so many small businesses. And it's really sad and unfortunate, and really unfortunate that our governor has made that situation much worse than it has to be. I think it's important for us to jumpstart our economy and to get things reopened safely but as quickly as possible. And I think we can do that safely, but we have to get things opened up and allow families to put bread on their table. So I'm in a position to do that, and that's something I've been fighting for already, and we have to continue that movement.
So how do you thread that needle of public health and reopening the economy? It doesn't seem like you can go back entirely to how things were prior to the pandemic. So what can legislators do in Harrisburg to thread that needle, as I mentioned, where you're keeping in mind public health but also helping those out who are struggling economically?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, there are extensive guidelines that have been developed by the CDC in Washington, D.C., of how to safely operate, you know, social distancing, wearing masks, cleaning machines or surfaces within your businesses. As long as you follow those procedures, I believe you can reopen pretty much any kind of business, and they have very specific guidelines for specific businesses. Instead of just saying across the board, like our governor did, that I'm going to make an arbitrary list of essential businesses and non-essential businesses and close those that he deemed non-essential, I think all should be open and all should be following safe guidelines. And the other thing, you know, the other arbitrary thing, saying that, for example, oh, we can be at 25% capacity in this kind of business, but in this other kind of business, all of a sudden you can have hundreds and hundreds of people under one roof, you know, a big box store, for example, it doesn't make common sense. And I think there is a common sense way, guidelines to operate by, and businesses want to be open, and people need their jobs. So you know, if we can give assistance for safety equipment, for other things like that, that's the role of government. And we've done some of that already and are happy to do more of that going forward.
One of the major challenges facing Harrisburg is the deficit that is looming in the upcoming budget process, anywhere speculated between $4 and $6 billion. I've seen estimates hanging right around $4.5 billion. Pennsylvania has to have a balanced budget. How do you get to that point? What type of programs do you think are on the table, and what type of revenue sources do you think are out there for Pennsylvania to get back to even after this impending deficit?
Well, first thing off the top, I will say the very last thing that we should do is raise taxes. I'm totally against that. You know, that would be like piling on businesses and families that are already paying too high taxes and a struggling economy. That's the last thing we have to do. We have to take a long, hard look at all state spending, and that that's what we have to do. We have to live within our means. I think there is a way to do it. I think, thank goodness, and I don't want to criticize my federal counterparts, but thank goodness the state has to have a balanced budget. So we are required to match revenues with the amount we spend. We can't borrow from China. We can't print money. And that's actually a good thing. So we may have to make some tough decisions. But keep in mind, some of the big important things the state government does, such as education, is already funded for the entire year. We already made that commitment to give them the amount of money they received last year. So that's both our kindergarten through 12th grade schools, as well as higher education. All those entities received and are scheduled to receive the same amount that they did as last year. Other things that have already been funded, like debt payments. Pennsylvania has to pay off some bond issues from years past. We have already committed money to pay for those for the entire year, so that Wall Street and lending entities don't downgrade our financial rating as a state. We wanted to send a clear signal that this is one of our things that has to be funded for the year, and therefore we set aside money to do that. But we have to look at other programs, though, that where there may be waste or too much bureaucracy, and we have to look hard at their funding for the rest of the year. But one other thing, back to what I said at the beginning, reopening our economy is really the way to grow the amount of revenue that comes into the state, and that's something it's been, you know, Pennsylvania is leading in unemployment above national averages because we're so tightly shut down, and we've got to reopen and get as much revenue that way, too.
Governor Wolf has expressed his support for legalizing adult recreational use marijuana as a way to increase revenues at the state level. Where do you fall on that issue?
I'm against it for many reasons. And number one, making bad public policy in the name of raising revenues is not good. I think it is bad public policy to have legalized recreational marijuana. And we're not talking about medical marijuana, which is already legal in Pennsylvania. We're talking about recreational marijuana. And I hang my hat on a interview I saw a little while ago with the former director of the National Drug Control Policy under President Obama. He is a recovering addict, and he was very much against the legalization of recreational marijuana because he said it is addictive, especially in young people. It's also a not good policy to raise to make another legal drug available when we have other legal drugs that are already killing over 500,000 people a year. That, you know, alcohol, tobacco, other legal drugs, 500,000 people a year die using those and those substances. And he said, why would we add another legal drug to that mix? And one other point I wanted to make, and that's that in every state that has legalized it, the money has never panned out to what they originally thought it would raise. So it's sort of a pie in the sky way to make money. It's not good public policy. It has many, many consequences health wise. It does affect especially young brains, kills brain cells, lowers IQ, all those kind of things, especially with young people. So I don't think we should be going down that road for an amount of money that really isn't that much and probably is even overestimated in what they are talking about.
One of the pushbacks you hear from people who do support the legalization of recreational marijuana is that the state is involved with the distribution of alcohol. I mean, if you're interested in getting a bottle of wine or a bottle of whiskey, you go to a state store to get it. So how do you balance that approach for those who believe it's a bit hypocritical for the state to be invested in one industry but opposed to another?
Well, the only thing I'll say is that my main argument for the privatization of the state source system is that the state should not be in that business. I think it's not good for the state to be in the business of selling alcohol. I've always felt that way. We've made some movement in that arena, but we are an outlier as far as other states are concerned in the amount of state control, state running of state stores. We are way behind the curve from what other states do there. I don't think the state should be in that business, nor do I think the state should be in the business of selling marijuana, for example. So that's how I answer that question.
He's State Senator Scott Hutchinson, Republican seeking re-election to the 21st Senatorial District. You had brought up higher education funded throughout the rest of this year for the state system of higher education. They're in a bit of a financial crunch as well as we're looking at the possible integration of state system schools. How do you view the long-term future of the state system? Is 14 schools supported by the state a viable system moving forward?
Well, we certainly have some challenges there, and a lot of that is demographic. We have fewer and fewer young people of that demographic who were born, you know, 18, 20 years ago that would now be of college age. So with the falling numbers, we've had falling people going to our state system schools, But I have to say this: the state system schools, in their design, are number one. They are state-owned, state-controlled. They are the entry level for so many first-generation young people. You know, people whose parents did not go to college, for example, and they're the first generation. These are local, accessible. Pathways to getting a higher education for so many young people, and it should be available for them. I don't think 14 is that many. I just think we have to run them more wisely. I think we have to target what they are offering at their schools, because, you know, every school can't be everything to everybody. You know, certain schools have an expertise in certain areas, and they should be even developing those expertises more, and some other of the state system schools should probably say, you know, we're going to specialize in another program area and try to recruit young people for that area. But in the end, if you look across the board, the state does fund other institutions of higher ed, but our first priority should be the state system schools, and that's. That's where I think we have to go as a state, is to say that's where the funding should go first, and we should support the schools that we own as a state.
You mentioned demographics, and there's just seems to be less people living in the region. How do you tackle that issue? How do you bring more people into the Western Pennsylvania area? Where do you think are some policies that could be created to stimulate population growth?
Well, a couple of things that I think are important, and that is that we have to build on the competitive advantages that we have as a state. Western Pennsylvania, well, all of Pennsylvania, but Western Pennsylvania is a big part of the energy economy that has grown fantastically in the last several years, but the sky is the limit. So instead of trying to say, we don't want Marcellus shale production, we don't want other energy forms, we should be promoting those things. Pennsylvania has a vast abundance of natural gas underneath our feet. We should be promoting its use, developing things like the cracker plant in Beaver County, opening up transmission lines so that more users can benefit from this low energy source, low priced energy source, and that will bring other manufacturing facilities here. If a manufacturer knows that they can get cheap energy, abundant energy, they're going to come to Pennsylvania. So we have to build on these advantages we already have. A couple other things that I think the COVID crisis has really pointed out, the fact that access to high-speed internet, high-speed broadband is essential, and we have to do whatever we can as a state to make sure all areas of the state have access to high-speed internet. It is our new economy. It is also vital to our schools, to any kind of business that wants to remain competitive. So we have to make sure that every community, all the small communities in Western Pennsylvania, have access to high-speed broadband. And finally, for this discussion, I mean, there's lots more we can do, but making sure that we have the availability of education and workforce development for workers for 21st century jobs. And that's, you know, sort of back to what we were talking about before. Education is a lifelong thing. It's not just get your degree, 2-year degree, don't just get your 4-year degree. You have to have access to upgrade your skills going forward. And that's why it's important that we have places like Butler County Community College, other higher education institutions in the communities that are flexible enough to educate workers for the skills and knowledge they need at any particular time, because things change so rapidly. We have to have the flexibility to train workers as time goes on. So those are a few things that I think are really critical as we move forward.
He's State Senator Scott Hutchinson, Republican from the 21st Senatorial District, seeking re-election. Senator, thank you for the time.
Thank you for this opportunity. I just want to urge everybody to get out and vote in this very critical election for Pennsylvania and for our country. So thank you for the opportunity to chat with you this day.
We'll continue on with more election coverage right after this break.